Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Do you want to introduce this one?
Why not?
Why not?
Oh, right. I got a real shot of nerves then on the Scummy Mummies podcast. I got real like, oh my god, up until this point I've just been sitting uncomfortably close to you both on the sofa.
And I put some MDMA in your tea.
Oh, that's what it is, it's kicking in. I'm coming up. Okay, great.
Do you want some chewing gum?
Oh, really, really dry gums. I'm going to be fun. I'm going to be fun. Oh my god.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And guess what, Ellie? We've got Tom Price on the podcast.
Yes.
It's this guy. Hi, Tom Price.
Hi, guys. So that one's Helen and that one's Ellie.
Yes.
And
yes,
now
that's
no.
Right.
Oh, gosh, we've got that out of the
mystery
way.
Mystery has been revealed. It's like the end of Scooby-Doo.
I had you the other way around, like Anton Deck, but now I've got you. It's sorted. Okay, great.
Oh,
do you wear name badges, do you think? That would make it a lot easier, just so I can...
I mean, we're not identical twins. I mean,
no, that's true. There's definitely
no, I mean, fine, Ellie's got glasses. That's what I always say.
That's the crucial difference.
Ellie always does always say that. What's your comedy partner like? Well, she's got glasses.
Yes.
And people go, sound. She sounds great.
Yeah,
she sounds hilarious.
Yeah.
People are the funniest. Absolute funniest.
But we are the classic double act because, you know, Ellie is thin and got glasses and I am not that. So I'm sort of fattish. And blonde, so I think we kind of, you know, that's how it goes.
Yes, okay. That's all you need to be a double act.
One fat person, one thin.
So I need to find an opposite of me then.
Yes.
If I want to be in a double act.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Let's not discuss what the opposite of me would be because that would. That would come out in a bad light.
Why don't you
just a man with a really hairy head and a great jawline.
Basically, listeners, if you know anyone out of who looks like a Guess Who character who would like to be Tom's partner,
glad to hang out with me.
No, you just said you had a shot. I've had a shot of nerves because, like, here we are pissing around in my living room as usual with our silly podcast.
Yeah.
You're an actual radio DJ on the radio.
Wow. This seems to have happened in the last couple of years. I started DJing. I don't know how it's happened. I was just a Chopsy stand-up and I got asked to go in and do a shift on Magic Radio.
Love a bit of magic.
That is the phrase everyone says whenever you say I work on magic. They go, I love a bit of magic. I think that should be our new phrase. Magic, everyone loves a bit of magic.
That is really good.
I love a bit of magic because you do, you jump on it, and I've loved it for years and years and years. And so when I first went into the Magic Towers, I was meeting all the DJs going, oh my god, it's Paul Hayes.
You've been in my car every Saturday.
Yeah, Paul, you know me. You've been talking into my ear for the last 10 years. So, it has for me been a literal dream come true working on that station. It's so much fun. They're really loosening things up there. Everyone's having a bit more fun now. It's not just music, music, music. There's a bit of personality and a bit of a laugh that you can have now and still get to play for Collins and get paid for it. So I'm utterly thrilled to be doing that job.
Could you describe for our international listeners what Magic FM is? I mean, we know it and love it. But in a nutshell, what is it?
It's guilty pleasure songs that are not a guilty pleasure. Do not be ashamed of liking The Bangles and Deacon Blue and every single Madonna song.
Yes.
And it's got kind of 80s emphasis.
I'd say be ashamed, but know that there are many other people who are also shameful.
It's a circle of musical shame. With additional George Ezra, because there is no shame in liking George Ezra.
No,
I'm slightly obsessed with George Ezra at the moment.
Who's been your best celebrity that you've done?
Either Simon Pegg. I would say he was really nice. I liked him a lot for obvious reasons. You know, I've always loved his stuff. And when you've always loved someone's stuff and then you interact with them and meet them and they're nice and it's positive, that's just such a kind of win. The best one has been either Susanna Constantine off of Trini and Susanna.
Oh.
I really, really hit it off with her. Like, I could have chatted to her for ages. I don't know why, just really liked
her. Was there a free song?
I think there might have been a free song.
With she's a bit naughty, isn't she? She's got a bit of sparkle, yeah, hasn't she? Yeah.
And I really like that. She really made me laugh a lot. But the one, predictably, out of all the ones I've done recently, is Dawn French. If I could have been sitting in a room with her since I did that interview 3 months ago, constantly, I would have happily. What I'm saying is, I'd like to be imprisoned with Dawn French. She would be a great cellmate.
She's the Terry Waite to your John McCarthy, yeah, is what we're saying.
Terry Waite made me British.
Contemporary reference.
Why did Terry Waite make you British?
Because Terry Waite gave the speech at my nationalisation ceremony. So, and I didn't know who he was. And then someone said, he was in prison for 5 years and now he's not. I was like, excellent.
With the speech. And in my darkest times, I just thought, I hope and pray that one day I'll be able to stand in Lewisham Town Hall and welcome a family of Australians to Britain.
Yes. Is that what he said? Yeah, that's what he said. He said, thank God I got out for this moment.
Yeah.
Did he do a really long speech and you were like, God, I know what it's like to be captured, isn't it?
Yeah.
Terry.
Yeah, wake me up.
Feel your pain, mate.
Now I know what the wait stands for. Wait for him to give it a fucking rest.
Terry Longwait. Oh, God. Good contemporary stand-up material there, guys. What's with that Terry Waite guy?
Tell me another thing. I was talking to someone about the Suez Crisis the other day.
I think there's a real need for people to go out and do stand-up as if it's 1958. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Just a historical stand-up. Yeah.
Exactly. I'll give you ration book, I said.
Yeah. There you go.
Right, anyway, sorry, Terry Waite chat done.
Yeah, good.
So when are you on the Magic? Is it Saturday afternoon? Because a number of times we've been in my car and I've gone, oh, I know that guy. That and my husband's like, oh, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, just put it up. So I go on Saturday and Sunday mornings now. I've moved to Weekend Breakfast. Between 6 and 10. And then every now and again, as I'm doing at the moment, in fact, I sit in on Weekday Breakfast when the superstar Boyzone singer... There's that Rob Deering skit about him. Do you remember the Rob Deering material about him? You're saying it best when you've got bread in your mouth. That was a Rob Deering joke. Just to be absolutely clear.
Does he like that? Does he know that?
Ronan. He does. He references it. Apparently he talks about the fact that he sings sometimes certain songs in a weird way.
Okay.
So, When the going gets tough, talk get going. He's a lovely man. He's a lovely man.
And you're glad he's on holiday because you get more money.
Well, the great thing about a radio presenter who happens to be a multi-millionaire pop star is that they want to go on lots of holidays.
Great.
And enjoy their private jets and their personal golf course on an island. What I'm saying is he's the Donald Trump of the radio industry. But a nice one. But a really nice, charming one. And so he goes off on holidays and I jump in for him.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it's good fun.
I mean, but you're used to getting up at butt-fuck o'clock, aren't you?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm used to it because in 2012... Oh, yeah, this is a podcast about parenthood. Okay.
Wow, ostensibly. No, it's a bit more Terry Waite and
same way that Magic FM is about conjuring. Not really. It's just in the name these days.
Why there isn't a feature on actual Magic, I don't know.
You need the magic hour.
Yeah, I need to sort
of... Well, it's great for radio. You can just say, and now I'm going to cut a woman in half. No one's going to know.
You start the noises. God, yeah, I've just cut her, and I've actually done quite a lot of harm. So in 2012 we had our first child.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, who was a boy, and he didn't sleep for the first probably 5 years.
Oh.
One of those ones. Do you?
I've had two of those.
You've got two because you've got two boys as well.
I've got two boys, and the first one liked to wake up every 1 to 2 hours.
Yes, hello.
And then the second one liked to wake up for the first year. Every 45 minutes.
Oh, I'm surprised he's alive.
Any of us are alive.
Yeah.
We said that about the first one a lot. Like, how has he survived? Yes. How has he not really damaged himself?
Yeah.
How is he not killing himself? So, Wilfred, my eldest, didn't sleep for ages. Oh. And it was truly horrendous.
That was like the training ground, though, for breakfast radio.
True.
He did you a favour, Tom. It was almost like he knew your destiny that you did not.
But that is really true now. Everything that happens, you must know this, everything that happens after you've gone through that parenthood thing is easy, isn't it? It's easy. Like I remember gigging when it was happening, and just went through this incredible period of about 6 months where I didn't give a shit about any of my stand-up gigs. Can we swear on this podcast?
All the swears. Yes.
And I just fucking got on with my stand-up, and it was just fun. I was enjoying it because I wasn't. Whereas before, 6 months before he was born, I was this kind of tortured stand-up, thinking about everything and worrying all the time, and not really enjoying it because I was sort of crimping it out. And then the kid comes, and you're like, anything I do out of this house is a win, basically.
Yeah.
anything that happens to me.
I'm in a pub.
Yeah, yeah. It's
I
amazing.
I have to sit in that pub for 3 hours and watch 20 other 9-year-olds do jokes about Tinder. Yeah. I'm out of the house. And
I've got some great stuff on Facebook. That's what I'm I've got six minutes on Facebook.
Yeah.
What's with that liking? Who pokes anymore? So yeah, no, it's amazing the light that it shines on everything else in your life. As much as being a source of light itself and wonderment and all that stuff, we all know that stuff, whatever. It is great. But the effect it has on everything else professionally has been amazing. It really has. It's great.
Because we've talked to lots of mums and dads before about, you know, going back to work after having kids, and they're like, I had a hot cup of tea.
Yeah.
I didn't have to watch Mr. Tumble and all those things. You were out of the house and there's a new light on the world that you hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Just think of the people who like are researchers on Mr. Tumble, though. Imagine what they're like.
Can't leave.
Especially if they've got kids at home. Yeah, so they have to put up with that at work.
It's a nightmare.
It's true. I remember I've always been the sort of person who, when you see old blokes in pubs, or just men generally, it tends to be a male thing, sitting in a pub by themselves, not talking. I've always been like, God, that's really sad. Or you see couples who don't talk to each other, and you just think, God, that's really sad. Then you have kids, and you're like, no, I just want to go and sit with my wife, preferably, in a pub, in complete silence.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I've suddenly tuned into that as a thing, and I see why that would be an attractive thing to do, to just sit there and just properly, almost like in a sort of shell-shocked way.
Yeah.
You know? It's almost like people on a train or a bus coming from the front during the First World War, just sort of sitting there all rocking together. There's been injuries. Many of us have been taken away. We'll never be the same again.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is parenthood is as bad as the first
it's the same. No, I mean, I've loved all the references.
That's why there's so
far.
Much great poetry.
Where's all the parenthood poetry?
Where's our Siegfried Sassoon? This is what I'm saying.
Because that's what I was thinking about. Because there's such anger as well. That's why I think my stand-up was better after I had kids. Because I had such unbridled anger about the world and about, you know, about parenthood and things like that I thought I was funnier, because I was just like, I just did not give a shit.
Yeah.
What were you angry about?
Just everything. Just, you know, like, you know, like, I was tired, so I had like a fierceness that I didn't have before, because everything was fine, because I just could go home and have a sleep. But then when I was doing stand up with a little child, I couldn't sleep or anything. So
you were kind of in free fall. So you'd go and take it out on the audience. There's the one gig that really sits for me was doing warm up for a Ben Elton sitcom, which was an absolute dirge. But I was just, I had the night, probably the best gig of my life.
Yeah.
Because, and it was when Wilfred was like 4 months old and we were in the middle of colic. He was just screaming 24 hours a day, basically. And I would just go on stage and I didn't remember half my stuff, and they were just laughing because I'd connected with that absolute lack of caring. And just, it was just really honest. It was just really honest.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like the material was all about having kids at all. It wasn't like I was going, oh, you know, changing nappies. What's that all about? It was just sort of...
Yeah, who would make comedy out of that kind?
Oh.
No,
what a bunch of morons.
Idiots.
Obviously, there's great stuff in that. But I was just kind of, I was in it. It was a free fall. It was jumping out of a parachute time. That's what out of a parachute, out of a plane. And you weren't quite sure about the parachute.
Yeah.
To stretch that analogy.
That's how I felt last week. Probably later than last week by the time this goes out, I had to host an award ceremony for a video games, so quite a men-heavy scenario, video games awards, and I had to go on stage 2 minutes after England had lost their semi-final World Cup.
God. Out of the World Cup.
Yes, match.
Oh, wow.
So, and that felt like jumping out of a plane.
Yeah. Well, you're just like, hey, guys, it's like FIFA. Just put the machine off, put it back on again. We can start again.
I wanted to ask, I mean, this has no segue, but I wanted to ask you about being the voice of Nescafe.
Oh, yes, that was quite a while ago. Good Googling that.
Yes. See the research and the detail.
Did you remember which advert was? Not the old gold blem ones. You would have been
like, that was me.
He was born in 1980, at least.
I was an eight-year-old child. Nescafe. Yeah. It is quite nice.
Yes.
Let Tony had some coffee. He might give you head back.
When Mummy has coffee, she's much nicer to me. No, sorry, that's just the truth. I did Nescafe in about 2005, 2006, 2007, right? New Nescafe Dolce Gusto. Let's go.
Do it again.
What was it? Nescafe. It's all about you.
It's so shit,
Nescafe. It's all. No, it was that was a gig that I lost because I did it for about 2 years, and I remember I was going in and doing it again. I'd be like, "Hey Tom, come in, how's it going?" And the whole time I'm thinking, "Oh, a massive fraud," because I'm going to get in there, and all I'm going to say is, "Nescafe, it's all about you." Like, why are they getting me back? And I go in, and I was doing it, and I could see them talking. And you know, there's a button that they press, you know, like Clem Fandango and Toast. They press the button, and then they
can speak. Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
Exactly. And they didn't know they had the button pressed. They didn't know I could hear them, and they went, "His voice isn't rich enough for this, isn't it? It's not working. Oh. We need to get Terry Wogan."
Did you?
I swear to God, this is true. They said, "We need to get, if we can get Terry Wogan, then I think we should, because this isn't working for us." And then they came back to me and went, "Hi Tom, thank you so much for coming in." I was sitting there going, "Oh fuck, I've just lost my Nescafe gig. I've been here for 2 years."
Oh no.
And like a month later, Wogan popped up.
Oh no. Doing it.
Like, that guy needed more money. Rest in peace.
Oh God.
He's got a whole house named after him in central London. It's extraordinary.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, but it happens. It does. It happens all the time. I lost the other one gig I did, which was a bit like that, was the monkey for PG Tips. Ben Miller does normally, brilliantly, yes. Brilliantly. But every now and again, he decides not to do it for various political reasons. Cash. He wants more money. So he drops out of it, and I hop in and do it for a little bit. I haven't done it for years now, actually. And I was doing it. They signed me up for a whole year once, doing the monkey. And I was like, this is amazing. And it was quite good cash as well. It's certainly where I was in my stand-up career then. It, like, quadrupled my income overnight. And I lost that gig on my wedding day.
Oh no!
The day I got married.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
Did you take the monkey to your wedding?
That's why I lost it. No, because Bennett had agreed that he wanted to do it again with Johnny Vegas, and unbeknownst to me, they'd already recorded something. And I only found out because there was a thing in the Radio Times saying they're doing a whole Christmas season with Ben Miller. And
what are you doing reading the Radio Times on your wedding day?
Yeah, you know,
shouldn't you be ironing your shirt?
I took a bit of time. I was looking for inspiration for my speech. That's what everyone does, right? The Radio Times. Yeah.
So you're in a similar time of parenting as Ellie. So you've got like a nearly 3-year-old.
That one's Ellie, right?
That's Ellie, cool. Yes. The clever one.
So yeah, I've got a 2.5-year-old.
Yes. And does that one sleep?
He sleeps much better than the first one. So we've called them Thunder and Lightning. Those are our nicknames for them. And he is Thunder. He is a big, rotund, kind of loud creature. And then Lightning, who is 6, is like, ping, 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 ping. If he was in this room now, like, everything would have come off that mantelpiece. It would have been round the back of the telly. It would just be like a critter going on.
What's this?
Room.
What's this? Pull the plugs out.
Now, not only have you got 2 children, 6 and under, you've also got a dog. Why did you do that?
Well, the dog came first, to be fair. Right. Yeah, she was...
That's your big baby.
She's like, she is our number one. I can tell who my wife is talking to based on her tone of voice.
Yeah.
And it's, I just know when it's the dog, because she's like, "Oh, hello." Like, that's not one of our kids. If it's the kid walking in the room, it's like, "What is it? What's wrong?" "I don't know. Go and ask your father. Just go and tell him not to do it again." Polly walks in the room, she's like, "Oh, no." She's rolled in fox poo. She's so clever. So we really love Polly, who is nearly 12. Oh my God. Oh my
Stop,
God.
Don't.
She's going to die and it's going to be awful.
We're all going to die, Tom. We're all going to die.
I know. It's a good. Actually, thanks for that. Oh, that's really great. You should do that at least once a podcast.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh,
yeah. Kids, we're going to die, so.
This is why Carrie won't let me on. This is why. Shit like that.
So desperate to get on Griefcast, I need to kill someone in my family first to get on that stuff. Polly is a Labradoodle, and it's just amazing getting a dog, especially in London, because it just unplugged a whole community of great people. And I met loads of cool people who would walk their dog in the park every day, and we would just hang out. And people who weren't stand-ups but were still creative, like, I met someone who's a chef, I met a photographer, I met a fashion expert, like, random people who all happen to have dogs. And it just sort of plugs you into a whole new world of people. It really connects you to other people. Which, of course, you'd know through kids, right? As soon as you've got kids in an area.
It's a different kind of chat. Because you just love your pet. You're not kind of going, "Oh, isn't it shit having a dog?" Because you all think it's awesome having a dog.
So what do you do? Because what I love about this podcast is the reality with which you approach.
The bare honesty.
Exactly. What's your approach when you meet someone who has the sort of foggy eyes, the 10,000 mile stare, whatever the phrase is, which is like, "I'm not going to say anything negative about my child." You know what I mean? Or you know, like when you say something like, "He's being a turd," and they just go, "Oh,
I just go more honest because yes. I don't know how to. I go darker and I'm going to break you. I'm like, aren't they shit? Oh, they're little cunts. Like, I just go darker and darker and darker until they walk away.
Then you never see them again.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. That's very efficient.
Yeah.
Parent friending.
And also because now that I'm doing so much. Live comedy, and I'm always in like a bit jokey. The comedy sarcastic thing never turns off. I was at the swimming pool the other day, and I got there too early, and they said, "Oh, sorry, you can't go in because it's seniors' hour. It's over 60s." And I was like, "Oh, fuck off!" It's like, "Oh, people are such miserable cunts." And
a bit strong for 7:30.
I was all like, jazzy.
Am I right, guys? Are you expected to turn around and see an audience of 500 people behind you?
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Can I just, if you're covering for Ronan Keating tomorrow, maybe don't go down that road.
Explain to your listeners that you guys came on my radio show and my producer Adam was like, so should we pre-record these guys? And I was like, no, these guys are pros. We can get them online. And he was like, let's pre-record it. And I was like, no, maybe we don't need to. These guys, they know they're not going to swear. And he was like, let's pre-record it. Okay, fine. Got them on. Hey, Scummy Mummies, you're on Magic. And the first thing he did was, fucking hell, guys. I don't know. Actually, if it was you.
It was one of you.
Dropped an absolute F-bomb in the first minute.
It's
and I was
always
like,
me.
Yeah, good job we pre-recorded this, team. That's gone pretty well.
And then I was on the other phone going, oh. And I was like, no, we'll be all right now. And then she went, yeah, I mean, you know, what can I say? They're twats.
Such a liability. Again, with the double actors, don't have an Australian. Don't have an Australian.
I was absolutely thrilled. Oh. I wish you'd done that on air. Yeah. That would be great.
And we haven't been asked back.
pre-recorded the heck out of that.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Honesty is the best bit, isn't it, of having kids? I love that. You know, every morning when I arrive at the playground and I see other parents and they're like, how's it going? I'm like, yeah, it's horrendous. 8 minutes ago, if I had a gun, I'd have killed myself. It's that bad. I want people to know.
I saw someone today tweet going, oh, my daughter's 7 today and I cannot say a bad thing. It's just been all wonderful. I just got like, really?
Has it though?
All of it. Yeah, like exactly. The gastro, the nits, the worms, the unbridled rage you have towards your partner. I mean, is that wonderful?
The cost, the smells, the disappointing holidays that you've had to take away from term time.
I mean, my genitals are ruined. Yeah. My marriage is in the toilet. I mean,
magical.
It has.
Magic.
#blessed.
Yeah. It is annoying that happens, but then that's what's great though, isn't it, about doing that honesty, is that you go full circle and you suddenly go, I do absolutely love this.
Yeah.
I absolutely love these kids. It's brilliant. But I've only got to that point of realising how much I love them by going through all that. It's like supporting a football team.
You've got the arc.
I want to see them lose at home to Stoke, do a massive shit on the new sofa, because that's going to make me love them all the more by the end of the season.
Have they made you cry? Have you got to that, the joy of like the Christmas concert or something like that? Have they broken you with that? Like, oh, there's something in my eye.
They've got the most amazing head at their school. She's incredible. She's a brilliant, brilliant woman, and she does this speech every Christmas at the Christmas show, which basically involves telling the parents that time is running out. Time with your children is running out. These little babies in reception now, you will look back on this and go, I can't believe how quickly it's gone and where has this time gone. So really enjoy this while you can. Really, guys, all sitting there watching this Christmas show, enjoy it, because this goes in the bat of an eye.
We're all going to die one day.
Yeah, that comes back to that. And all the parents are like... So, yeah, I
just remember, everyone, death is coming. Death is coming for us all. Merry Christmas!
The Christmas play, I mean, I know it's a cliche, but yeah, I cried watching. I mean, I cry more than my wife. Beth, she's the automaton in our relationship. She's like a...
She runs the ship.
She's AI, man. She's AI. Yeah. She isn't a real person. And so she does look baffled at me when I'm just weeping at something.
Have you seen Westworld?
Yeah.
Sounds like you live in it, to be honest. Yeah.
She's more of a Cylon from Battlestar, I'd say. Shit. That's her thing.
Yeah. That's a reference I don't get.
Have you not watched Battlestar Galactica?
No.
It's fantastic. The remake is...
It's my favourite television series of all time.
Me too.
Yes.
Me too, man. Or Friday Night. Good.
BSG Club.
It's brilliant. Brilliant.
I have stopped caring, listener. have a lovely time together.
Just pulled into a nerd lay-by. Yeah. We're back on track now.
Can we just touch on Torchwood, because there will be can we talk about that?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, now he's being fucking nerdy.
I watch Torchwood and I really, really enjoy it. You're in this one, so tell us about Torchwood.
So yeah, Torchwood is it's the spin-off of Doctor Who, which Torchwood is an anagram of Doctor Who.
She didn't know that.
Oh my god, this is always a wonderful
fucking
moment.
Fucking hell.
Do you want to get a pen and you just did the best face ever. You actually flinched and looked at Ellie like, is he shitting me? Is that actually true? Has that just happened? Oh my god.
I'm just going to check my notes. Yes, it is.
It is an anagram of Doctor Who.
Oh my god.
And it was conceived by the incredible Russell T Davies, who we all know is a genius. And it was designed to be a kind of more adult, grown up version of Doctor Who. Some people really didn't like it at all. Michael Legg, who vociferously hated it on Twitter several times. But a lot of people loved it because it was a slightly more grown-up version of Doctor Who, and also because it dealt with a lot of sexuality stuff. There was a lot of gay relationships in it, and it all happened. Yeah, this was all happening in like 2007.
Captain Jack was a hornbag.
Captain Jack would have had a go on anything.
That's the John Barrowman character. He's all right. He's good.
Oh, he's fabulous.
He's a piece of work.
Because he was in Miss Saigon, which famously is an anagram of.
If you'd done an anagram, I'd be like, holy shit. How is this podcast not winning more awards? Because that's exquisite. Miss Saigon is an anagram of duck fingering.
No sag tits. I don't know. Anyway.
And, but what's been fun about Torchwood is like, along the way, so it started as a random audition, and I'm Welsh, obviously, so they were like, do you Welsh accent, do you sort of native Welsh accent, so I did that, and they went, oh, great. And my character was supposed to die at the end of the first series, and luckily enough, it didn't. And then in series 4, I think it was, obviously, you'd know, we got to go film in America, so I got to go out to LA, and we filmed on the Warner lot, and I was like,
oh,
yeah.
Grown-up time!
It was amazing. It was, it was one of the bits, one of the good bits, which you'll look back on and just be like, yeah, this has gone fine. But
let's just say, well done on getting an awful first audition, but I happen to know that after that audition, they did make a call to Terry Wogan.
Enough.
I actually thought you were going to say Terry Waite then.
Or the Terry Waite.
Well, I was going to say, that was the next phone call. And eventually they were like, no, fuck it, go with that guy.
Yeah, he's cheaper.
Asked. It was amazing. But I've done more, since then, I've done way more time doing conventions than actually I spent doing the show.
At the sci-fi conventions, are you there with people out of Battlestar and are you sitting next between Chewbacca and fucking Starbucks?
Yes.
Oh my god!
That's the best thing about it. I haven't done them for 3 years now because it got to the point where it was embarrassing how little I was. There was just no point in doing it financially, and people didn't really know who I was. It was not worth it, and that's absolutely fine. I was sitting at one stage next to Chris Barry, obviously Rimmer from Red Dwarf, and his queue right next to me was 1,000 people, and I was just sitting by myself like this.
We have experienced that because we did the Hay Festival,
okay,
and we were next to Monty Don.
Yeah.
Oh, you're absolutely doomed.
We had 3 people wanting to sign our book, and everybody wanted Monty Don.
Yeah, but if you did Scummy Grandmummies, then you'd have had a massive queue of people at the Hay Festival.
Do you know what we did instead? Because we were wearing our gold cat suits. Yeah. We just ran behind Monty Don doing lewd hand gestures.
Photobombed him.
Yeah.
Honestly, how was he about that?
I don't think he knew.
Okay, fine.
We were just kind of gesturing behind him when the old grannies were signing the book.
We did it again to Tony Hawk this year. And he was mildly, he pretended to be mildly amused, but I think he just thought, what the fuck is wrong?
Women
is this some sort of protest? Is this Mothers for Justice? Is that what's going on?
But yeah, you were saying, you're at these conventions.
So these conventions, and what was I going to tell you about the conventions? Gosh, I had half a story parked in my head.
Next to the Red Dwarf dude.
So next to the Red Dwarf dude. Yeah, the people I've met, holy shit. So the cast of Hello, Hello.
Zeta fucking
that,
war.
That is the boom.
I was hopeless. All 4 of the main ones were there. I was like, hair flick. Are you kidding me? Your hair flick. Get the shit over here right now. And when you're at those things, you've got the pass, so you get to run around and meet all the people.
Oh my
then,
God.
Then I met the guy from Battlestar who's got the cat. You know the British actor who wears sunglasses in Battlestar Galactica? He's got a head like an egg. He's like, he's bald. And he only pops up in series 5 or 6. I can't remember his character name.
Okay.
Your nerdier listeners now will be shouting at their device what it
you
is.
You idiot! It's that guy!
Anyway, I met him at one of them, and that was beyond exciting. That was really, I got a bit too excited about that. So, yes, it's great to go to those conventions and be a fan, but to go as a star of sci-fi in 2018 when Torchwood finished in 2011 is a tricky sell.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Well, I think it's time for a game.
Oh, great idea. I've made up a game.
Oh, as if by magic.
I know, right?
Boom.
Magic.
There you go.
This game is called, listener, Heavy Petting.
Okay.
Great news, team.
So, I have put together a group of celebrities and their famous celebrity pets, okay, but also ones that aren't true. Have I explained that in a really long way?
Yep.
Good.
But I think we've got it.
You've got it. Yeah, okay.
So what I'm going to test is whether you know whether this celebrity's pet is real or not.
Yeah. Again, okay, good.
Very short.
So
it's going to be like John Travolta's poodle, fictional or non-fictional.
Yes.
Is that basically what it is? Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
True or false? True or false? And right. So you need to buzz in.
Okay.
So this is first ever on the podcast. It's called... Okay. Heavy petting.
Yep.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Okay. Got the name.
Okay. How do I buzz in?
That's the thing with a joke. If people don't laugh, just say it again.
And then look meaningfully at them.
Yeah.
Laugh,
guys.
Assholes.
Thank you.
Yes, good. All right. True or false? Eminem has a pig called Kevin Bacon.
Ooh.
I think that's true.
I'm going to say false just to be different.
It is false.
God damn it.
Right.
Of course he hasn't. It's actually called Francis Bacon.
Yes. Okay. Does Katy Perry have a cat called Kitty Purry?
That's true.
Are these all false? Is every single
hang
one
on,
of these
hang
false?
On. I need your answer, Tom. I'm not your sarcasm.
False. I have no answers available. If you take away my sarcasm, that's it. There's nothing left of me. I'm going to say false.
Only your brain could come up with that. That's false.
It is true, motherfuckers.
No! Are you kidding?
That is her cat's name. Kitty Purry.
Kitty Purry.
Is her cat. Okay.
Oh no, no wonder God. Russell Brand couldn't handle it.
He had to get out of there. That's
too weird. Danny Minogue has a chihuahua called Sweet Jesus.
Is that a euphemism?
Danny Minogue's at home just going, oh my God, finally someone's Googled me for the first time in 6 years. Her Google alerts are set up.
Oh my God.
False,
yes. Oh, damn it. This is grippy, this game. Vanilla Ice has a kangaroo called Bucky Buckaroo.
Vanilla Ice.
I mean,
kangaroo
called Bucky Buckaroo.
I'm gonna say, true because it's just tricky to think. Yeah,
I feel like he's away on tour a lot, though, isn't it? How is he feeling?
He's probably got people to look after the kangaroo. Do you know Vanilla Ice was in Panto in Chatham in 2011?
Is that true? That's a really
absolutely
good
true. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome,
Ellie. True or false? It's true.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He bought a pet kangaroo named Bucky Buckaroo when the little guy was just a baby. Now Bucky is all grown up and Vanilla wants him to live a comfortable life. Oh. The rapper confessed that the kangaroo is spoiled rotten. He lives in his own enclosure and even has a lover, a pot-bellied pig.
Oh. A lover?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? A
pot.
Yes, this kangaroo sleep with a pig.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interspecies incest happening on the Vanilla Ice Ranch. That's worse than what Michael Jackson did.
That's like porny fan fiction.
No, it's not true.
It's not real.
No, Vanilla Ice has a kangaroo called Bucky Buckaroo.
The fuck's a pig?
Deal with it!
The fuck's a pig?
Deal with it!
I could deal with them having a fucking kangaroo.
Do they often argue like
name?
This in this podcast? Because it's quite upsetting.
Vanilla Ice,
really,
that's the headline. That's the hook. Vanilla Ice has a kangaroo that fucks a pig. That's insane. What website is this from?
We can discuss this later.
No, we need to get to Bob and
Ash. They actually don't get
it. Is this from TNT?
How are your kids possibly going to sleep with all this shouting every day?
Right? No, they're used to it.
Iggy Pop has a raccoon called Bullseye Bob.
It's too similar to Bucky Buckaroo. It's like you ran out of imagination a bit and you just thought you'd go for another alliterative BB name.
So I love the way you're going under the bonnet there. Finding out how she ticks.
I know,
she knows how to hurt me,
yeah,
Tom.
She does, man. It's very effective.
I know.
I'm going to go true because I think you're absolutely great.
It's false.
Right. Joan Collins has called Bibby Bobby.
Bumbidi Boobles.
Shush. Dane Bowers has a horse called Saucy Sally.
Dane Bowers and Danny Minogue together on the same podcast.
He is out of his mind.
Yeah. There's every chance that's true.
I think that's false.
That's false. Martine McCutcheon has a hairless cat called Jeremy Sparkles.
Is it hairless because she's had it waxed?
Give
that cat a full
hairless. I always thought Martine McCutcheon would have a hairless pussy. I'm going to say that's true.
You just know the way she walked in those leather chaps. Yeah. She was I'm going to say... That's the noise of Martine McCutcheon walking with her Hollywood on. I'm going to say...
Tiffany!
False.
You were correct, Tom.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, let's have the last one.
Right.
Nicolas Cage has a king cobra called Justin Bieber.
I wish that was true.
Yeah.
Is that just what he calls his cock? That's what he calls his one-eyed trousers.
Hasn't Nicolas Cage retired now, by the way?
I don't know.
He announced the other day that he's retired, which is a real shame for stand-up comics. I'm going to say it is... false.
That's right. It's actually called Sheba.
Oh,
he's got a king cobra. Yes, called Sheba, and he bought it to mimic the movements to be scary for his part in Ghost Rider.
Okay, so he could train.
Yes,
it's his acting train. That's how he gets himself ready.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that was a fairly mediocre game.
Can we have the results? I'm hyper competitive or anything.
The winner is.
Oh, yeah, hang on. You're just making it up.
Well, yeah, because I'm going to edit it. I'll have more boring ones.
Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got any radio experience.
Only live.
No, we only do truth on live radio.
Yeah.
That's what we deal in.
The winner is.
Go on.
The Price is Right. Oh, I bet he's never had that before.
That's
amazing. You're welcome, mate.
I'm going to take that one.
Oh, well, there we go. Good times.
We've covered so much, Ellie.
We have.
It's been a journey, guys.
We haven't talked about, though, my favourite Magic FM song, and I do think of it as a Magic FM song because it's always on within 40 minutes of turning Magic FM.
Can I guess what song that is?
I think, go on then.
Yeah. Is it Toto and Africa?
Yes, it is!
Voted one of the best songs ever recently.
Really? Is it?
Yeah, by Magic listeners. But it's an incredibly popular song, and it takes you to a different place, Ellie. You know, it's a really great song. And sometimes that different place is Absolute Radio or Kiss, just to get away from the noise of that song. No, there's actually a Twitter account, which you should follow.
Africa by Toto Bot, yeah.
Well, yeah, there's one which is Magic playing Africa by Toto. It just tweets constantly, no, 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 and then yes. And then it goes back to no, no, no.
Amazing. So you should follow that. It's not just me. Because I mean, for a phase, many years, and I don't do so much because he's got a baby, so I feel sorry for him, but every time I heard Africa by Toto, no matter where I was, I would ring my friend Ollie and just hold the phone at the speaker and just say nothing. And just hold it there until he hung up. So I often turn magic on just so I could do that. So thank you for that. Exactly.
It's a great, yeah, it's a great
it
song.
It peaks for me, pardon the pun, at the bit where it compares, it uses the simile of comparing Kilimanjaro to Mount Olympus.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have a concept of what Kilimanjaro was like, but now you compared it to a mountain.
Yeah.
I've got a I can see it now. It's in my brain.
Wow.
It's huge, that's songwriting.
It's the Google Earth of songs, isn't it? It's right up there in the stratosphere looking around the world. It's really epic.
Are there any songs that come on Magic, be honest, where you're like, oh God, I'm going to take my headphones off?
Luther Vandross, Dance With My Father. I hate it with such a passion.
How does that go?
Oh God, I'll dance, how I'd love to dance with my father again.
Did Ronan cover that?
Oh God, maybe it's Ronan's cover that I'm supposed to. No wonder he's so awkward with me.
He's known as the Irish Luther Vandross. I mean, that's his whole shtick.
He's an Irish Vandross. Luther, get in here. Get in here. Life's a roller coaster. No, it's just, you know, it's a dreadful song. But we have to, you know, you can't choose all the songs of Magic. You have to play what the people want to hear. And some people, especially Luther Vandross's record label, really want to hear that song. Apart from that, genuinely, I think I really do like all those songs. I've become Mr. Easy Listening.
And is there any song, there's no artist apart from Luther that you just wouldn't play, just refuse?
That I would refuse to play? No, not really, no. Apart from that Luther one, I'm not a big fan of... actually, there's two. Celine Dion I don't really like, but I would never refuse to play her. But I did work with Mariah Carey last year. I spent 2 days filming an advert with her for Hostel World. Google it, guys.
What is Hostel World?
Hostel World is a price comparison site for youth hostels. And let's be honest, guys, we don't need to know about that anymore, because the first part of the word youth hostel gives away why. And we went and made an advert in Spain where Mariah Carey hilariously drops in and stays at our youth hostel. And I played the hostel manager.
How was that?
Wow.
I have signed an NDA.
Oh, okay.
So I can tell you that. And then she... And that was absolutely the wonderful person. Really great.
I can't wait till this podcast ends. You can tell us the real
tweet
shit.
Me, guys, at Price Tom.
Wow.
She's known for being a bit of a diva. So it was all things along those lines. Right.
Did she actually show up?
After an 8-hour wait, yes. But I did get to improvise a bit at the beginning of the ad when my assistant in the ad runs in and tells me that Mariah Carey's coming to stay. And I say, I improvise this line, which stayed in it, which was fantastic. Mariah Carey, what, off of Christmas? Which I'm just really pleased about.
Joy,
yeah, exactly. I'm so pleased that stayed in, because that says everything.
Now, it's Scummy Mummy Confessions time.
Oh, wow. Right, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yes. You got one, Tom.
So this is an example of my bad parenting. So when I saw this, I was like, well, this isn't... I genuinely think I'm fantastic at parenting. Do you have that? Where you're like, I'm really fucking good at this. And then I sort of dug into my experiences and I was like, yeah, I've done some bad things. So one of them is I mentioned it earlier, actually. I gave my son coffee when he was 3 years old. And I thought it would be quite funny to see if he had some coffee. And it was cold.
Well, you got it for free, presumably.
Exactly, it was free Nescafe, yeah. Have some of that Wogan juice. he didn't sleep. He didn't go to sleep until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Why did you do that?
Because I genuinely didn't
think about it. How much coffee did you give him?
He had probably... He had my mug and he was playing with my mug. And I just kind of let it happen.
Yeah.
In that sort of, I'm going to be that standoffish parent. And that kind of, he'll be fine.
You can let him explore.
Yeah.
Tastes and things.
He's got to learn. I don't want to be a helicopter parent. And suddenly it's 1 o'clock in the morning and he's crying and bouncing off the walls. I was like...
Make the room stop moving. Yeah.
I've given him toddler MDMA.
You are a helicopter parent. It's just that the helicopter always crashes.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one. And then another one was probably the time that he was... Wilfred was about 18 months old and just walking... And we were on the kitchen floor and I was putting his trousers on and I decided he could put his trousers on standing up. We were no longer at that. He lies down and I wiggle the trousers on stage.
Right.
You're standing up, you step into the trousers.
It's a great day.
It's a great day. Yeah. He did it and then I yanked the trousers up and he had a big head. So as I yanked the trousers up, the weight of his head just went... And he properly...
Oh, no.
Imagine flipping a Weeble. And he smacked his head. On the floor,
That is the worst sound in the world, is your child's head hitting anything.
Yeah. The silence afterwards, half a millisecond while they're drawing in breath. All the air in the world goes into their lungs.
Oh my God.
Like, well, this is the next 20 minutes of my life. That's that.
Smarties, Smarties, iPad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is actually becoming sort of a case study now, isn't it?
Can you please tell the story about the door that you had to cut a hole in?
Oh, my God. That's actually so oh, jeez.
I've ever seen on Facebook, Tom and I are friends, and I like literally did some wee when I saw your post. Please tell this story.
It was Christmas and we had a load of friends over, because that's the great thing about being a parent, you make friends with other parents that you like, and they bring their kids over and their kids get on with your kids and they all play. And then Arthur, who's one of Rolf's best friends, who's absolutely gorgeous, adorable, quiet little boy, went to use the understairs toilet, which is right next to us in the kitchen, and we kind of forgot about him for a while, and we were all drinking and being merry, and we were quite pissed by this stage. And then we were like, where's Arthur? The hell's we? Shut up, where's Arthur? And we could hear, I can hear him, because he's a quiet boy anyway. And he's banging on the door to try and get out. And he was in the understairs toilet, and he'd jammied the lock, and the lock had fallen down. Right, the nubbin on the lock that allows you to slide the lock backwards and forwards, that little nubbin had fallen out and fallen between the cracks in the floorboards.
Oh,
so
no.
He was absolutely locked. Basically, we all stood around and went, no, it's fine, we'll work this out. Okay, what the hell are we going to do? And we're all sort of staring at it. And Arthur's been great. To be fair, he wasn't upset. He was really chilled. His mum was there. You okay, Arthur? And he was like, yeah. He was really genuinely fine. This isn't a traumatised child story. It really isn't. But the parents were way more traumatised than him, because we were like, how the fuck do we get him out if we don't know what to do?
Oh, my God. Call Elon Musk.
So at one stage, Justin. Yeah, exactly. Elon Musk. Can you make me some sort of tube? So Justin decided, another dad, what he was going to do was charge the door. Right? And he was literally about to charge the door of an understairs toilet, a door that opens out, not into the toilet. And also, had he charged that door in, to be clear, that door would have opened into a space the size of my arsehole. So it would have obliterated everything inside the room. And he was literally about to start doing it. He was like, running at this door. I was like, no, Justin, you can't do that. You'll squash Arthur. They will have a pancake pate child if you do that. Oh, right, okay, remember that. And then we were sort of trying to push it out, and then we realised the only way to do it was to put our hands at the bottom of the door, because it's really pathetic, crappy little internal door. It wasn't a fire door. And we just started to try and pull the door off the hinges, and it was just mayhem. It was just pissed, desperate, sweaty. Is this really happening? We also, at that stage, we'd been back in our newly refurbished house for 6 weeks. This was like almost not far off a housewarming party, hands under the door. We're like, Arthur, can you see our fingertips? Yeah, okay, stand at the back. And then we just pulled the door, and thinking of the whole thing, the hinges would come away, and the fucking hinges were utterly resilient. So what we ended up doing was snapping the bottom of the door. Chunks of the bottom of the door started to appear until we had like a giant mouse's hole. And Arthur's face...
description of like drunk people like gnawing at the bottom of the door to get a child out.
We were queuing up to take it in turn.
like a pinata.
Yeah, it was like a door pinata
with a child inside.
The prize.
Arthur's idyllic. He's such got an angelic little face. This sort of blonde hair, blue eyed face just appeared underneath the door. Hi, and he crawled out from underneath.
Oh my god! Did you all just have to hug each other afterwards?
A little bit. It was a bit like that. And then, of course, life being what it is, the door stayed like that for 6 weeks. There's nowhere. People would go and have wheeze in there. I remember walking down one morning. I was like, Beth, I can see your legs. She's like, fuck off, I'm having a piss. I'm literally watching you while I'm eating my cereal, having a piss, because you see right through the door.
Oh. And then Elon Musk called you a pedo on Twitter.
Why? Elon Musk, please.
Oh, have a day off, Elon.
Hey, Elon Musk. And then, what's his name as well? Dawkins today. Dawkins saying that the sound of a church bell is much nicer than the sound of Allah Akbar. Guys,
no.
Can we all stop? John Cleese, can we all stop these guys? Stop. Morrissey, stop. Shush.
No, all of you.
No. Shut your face, white men. You've had your turn.
Bad gammon.
Nobody wants to hear any more from you. Not including you, Tom.
No, that's fine. I'm happy to be silenced. I'm keen on silence. As I said, silence men, so we can all go and sit in the pub in silence. That's fine.
Really? I haven't got my own confession, but I want to share one that we had at the show the other night.
I can't remember which show it was,
but the child did a shit on the carpet. We've all been there, probably about three or four, whatever. Just in the carpet, and the mum, she just, you know, you just when you're at the end of your rope, and she just couldn't face it, and she just closed the bedroom door. So she just left it, and the dad obviously then came and found it, chanced upon it, and he got a Stanley knife and cut a hole in the carpet around the shit.
Oh my god!
So he cut like a circle of carpet out.
and just threw it in the bin.
That is extraordinary.
And then it's just waste. And then it just says, the hole is still there to this day. Fuck it.
That is extraordinary.
But you know it's, what it is, though. It's like the shithole. Like, when you walk over
literally
it.
Literally a shithole.
Shithole.
How do you explain that to people? I mean, that's I would not have just come up with that as a solution.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
but I'm sure there's an analogy or some sort of metaphor for how we deal with kids in that. Anything that they do and then they break, just take the thing they've broken away. I don't need it that much. That's basically what it is. And they've sort of done that with my life. Just, they've done that with my social life. Okay, fine, take my social life away. I will cut away my social life and never use that again.
That's you just end up with a carpet that's like a Swiss cheese. It's a feature. It's a feature.
Yeah, we need, if anything, we need kids to shit elsewhere on the carpet so we can sort of make it all symmetrical and match it up.
I have a confession. It's another waxing confession, Ellie.
Oh, lovely. Oh, we love your wax. Helen Thorne's waxing story.
Oh,
no. 11:30, Thursday nights on Radio 4.
Just 15 minutes for the first series.
Yes. So I went to get just a half leg the other day.
All right.
At my local...
Now, first of all, I'm not into the waxing, but I've never understood why you would get a half leg. Why would you not
just
go full leg?
Yeah, no, so just the knee, because that's all I, expose.
Obviously. Oh, right.
Yes, yes. So I just want, for the summer months, for me.
So the top bit's hairy and then...
Yeah, yeah,
So the top bit looks like... So...
Like a fab.
Okay, great. I'm just picturing, at weddings when men in kilts lift up their coats.
Exactly. Fine. Anyway, so look, I'll just get a nice little neat half leg to the knee, and the lady who was waxing me lifted up my skirt and said, "Why not full? Why not full? I'm with her. I'm
going
for it."
Rude. Yeah.
She just slumped at me.
Don't upsell me with my own cosmetic choices.
And then because I am me, I just went, oh, all right then. And then she calls her friend in, and then...
Look at this, you won't believe this. Come and show us.
Oh my God. And they're both like going... But like hours, they're like, and they're like separate. Like I was lying on my tummy at one stage, I was separating my thighs. And like all these, so many ladies. Like a car jack,
some kind of hook.
They were just there for hours.
Moses appears.
Quite a firm grip on my buttocks and like kind of getting into bits and stuff. But just at the end, she just finished with, "Oh my God." And then I paid her, listener. And I ran away.
And then she started building a huge bonfire.
As she closed the door, did you just hear a burst of flames? The things I've seen, dear mother, today hasn't been a good day.
She's like, oh
my God.
I thought it was bad when I had to do Terry Waite when he just got out.
State of Terry Waite's pubes.
Oh my
after all.
God.
That is my legs were like Terry Waite's pubes. That is exquisite. I once had to do a sex scene with Billy Piper in Secret Diary of a Cool Girl.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I had to get fully naked with Billy Piper, which was genuinely horrendous. And I wrote an entire Edinburgh show about this, so too late, guys. Too late if you missed that. In order to do that, I have an incredibly, monumentally, depressingly hairy back. It's genuinely horrific,
like a welcome mat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Something
so
to
wipe
your feet on.
Yeah, so I got it waxed before shoot, and it got really badly infected.
Oh no!
Because you're opening all those pores for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. They're
really hot.
They're like virgin pores.
Oh, no. It was so painful. It was so fucking painful. I can't believe the pain I went through to then go into a sex scene with Billy Piper. There was a moment on the second day, because it was a 2-day shoot, and we were basically both naked for the whole 2 days. And on the second day, there was a moment where we were in doggy position, and she just started, we were waiting for a setup, and we were in the position, and she started idly bouncing her ass backwards and forwards on my groin.
Oh,
and that was the moment when I got, all right, like, up until that point, I'd been like the least aroused I've ever been in my life. But when Billy Piper starts basically simulating sex, in a really absent-minded moment, I was like, holy shit, do that. Don't ever do that again. And then, that was a really... That was a difficult 2 days. But that was a whole new podcast to talk about.
You dropped that late.
Sorry, I did. Next time, guys. Next time I'll tell you about
Billy Piper.
We'll open the batting with that.
Yeah, wow.
Amazing scenes.
I don't want this podcast to end, but we have to end it, Ellie.
It must end. And it must end, as always, with admin, Helen.
Oh, I love admin, Ellie. www.scummymummies.com. That's our website.
That's it. Don't forget that www. They'll never find it without that.
HTTP.
They'll never find it.
colon/.
Yes, that's right. For tickets for all our live shows, we're going all round the country. We've got a big Christmas tour coming up.
Yes, we've just booked 10 dates for our Christmas tour. That's going to Cambridge, Winchester, Hertfordshire, all over. I think we're going back to Bath, hopefully.
Please follow us on the Instagram and all the rest of it at Scummy Mummies. And our book is still in print.
That's right. It was £5.51 on Amazon the other day, wasn't it, Ellie?
Very reasonable.
Very reasonable. That's like an oat milk latte and a biscuit.
Tom Price, what would you like to plug?
I would love it if you follow me on the Twitters at Price Tom, and please listen to my magic show, I guess, which is on.
Listen to my magic
please
show.
Please listen to my magic show. That'll be. You can hear me take my hat off. Oh my God, it's a dove. And now here's Phil Collins. Every weekend morning
from. Ace of Spades.
Every weekend morning from 6 o'clock, yes. We definitely don't play the Ace of Spades, but I will reveal that as a card. Yes, correct.
Oh, well, there we are. I hear the drums echoing tonight. It is time to end the podcast. Thank you for being an amazing guest, Tom Price.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed sweating on your sofa.
I'm quite clammy.
It's been a privilege to get clammed up.
Airless in here.
The aircon in here is not working.
Oh, no, it's awful.
Get that sorted.
All right, well, your comments have been noted.
thanks. Feedback taken on board. Just peel myself off.
You're welcome. Until next time.
Bye-bye! We have a game called Anything for Money, right, in which we have a sex act, a bowl of celebrities and some money, just random money figures, and you have to pick one from each and whether you would do that.
Nice.
It's
yeah,
a really good game.
That's a brilliant game.
Well, I think my favourite one was, I think it was 15,000, was it?
Yeah.
Would you, for £15,000, let's see, Tom.
You go.
Would you rim Bill Oddie?
Bill Oddie? The 15
grand. It gets you thinking, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Just on, a new kitchen.
On the cusp, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
How long would I have to rim him for? Can I have a... if it's just like, if it's just tongue contact, like
a minute.
No, that's disgusting. If it was like that, if it was like 5 seconds,
just a little like three taps.
Yeah. But then if I did that, every time I walked into my new kitchen, I'd think, I rimmed Bill Oddie for this. And it would really take away from the pleasure of the kitchen.
Yeah, you'd always have that taste, wouldn't you?
You would always taste. Like, I wouldn't want my kitchen to taste of Bill Oddie's arsehole.
No, no.
Well, someone's overly confident Nescafe are going to pick up the phone.
To be fair to Nescafe, their coffee does taste of Bill Oddie's arsehole. So.
Oh. Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.